Amen. Good to hear testimonies, isn't it? Adds another little help in our understanding. Okay, well, we have a little bit of time, and I do have some questions, like I said earlier, here that some of you wrote down, maybe 10 or 12 of them here. And as I mentioned earlier, I think in the early part of the message, there was one question that came up, I think at least three times, maybe four times, depends on how you interpret how people ask it. But I do think I need to spend a few minutes on, and it was asked, you know, in different ways. How do you know a guy or girl is the right one for you? How do you know you are meant to be together? Different ways it was asked in different ways. And I'd like to try to answer that a little bit here this morning. It's obviously, on the one hand, a very simple answer. On the other hand, maybe not so simple. But it is an important thing to kind of think through. And again, I think if we can, first of all, remember what we've already shared this morning, that we can take the pressure off that there is no the one, the perfect one, then that kind of takes a little pressure off. Because again, then there's not that fear that if I start courting the wrong one, that I've totally missed God and I'm therefore unspiritual. So we need to remember some of those things. So remembering some of those things as a backdrop, let's just kind of walk through some of the thought process here just a little bit. We can be thankful that God has revealed in His Word and in the ways that, and in the principles that He gives us in His Word, things that, if I can say it this way, narrow it down till it's actually pretty simple in a way to see God's will in this area. It's actually not a complicated thing. So let's just kind of walk through this a little bit. First of all, as Christians, got too many notes up here, sorry. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Is everybody with me? You know what we're answering here. We're looking at the question, how do you know it's the right one? Or how do you know if I should marry this one? Or how do you know if this is the right girl? Or how do I know? Basically, what they're really asking, is it God's will? Is it okay for me to marry this one? Again, you can ask this question a lot of different ways. And it's a right concern that young people have, because obviously we don't want to make a mistake. But let's just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, the simple thing is this. First of all, we look at this principle of light and darkness. Now, there's what, I don't know how many people in the world today, is there somebody, 6 or 7 billion? What is there? 6 billion. Okay, well, if we use this principle, we've just eliminated probably 95% of the people in the world. Maybe more. I don't know. I hate to put a percentage on Christians, but I'm afraid it's a pretty, according to the Bible, few there be that find it. Whatever the percentage is, it's a small percentage of people. Then, okay, if you use that guideline, that narrows it down quite a bit. Well, then, of course, if you're a boy, it gets narrowed down because you're only looking at the girl. So whatever that percentage is, you can cut it in half. Okay? Whatever that number is. But then, okay, God's will is actually this simple sometimes. But then we look at the principle of compatibility, or the principle of, you know, similar backgrounds. In other words, let's just look at it from our perspective. Though we may believe that there might be a person, a young lady, for some of you young men, who could exist maybe somewhere, I'll use my background as an example. I know of a church I used to go to in Florida. They're Calvinists. I know of some young ladies there that are very nice young ladies, but they're flaming Calvinists. And they would cut their hair and believe in going to the army and different things like that. I would say to you, though that lady may be born again, and I know some there that I do believe with all my heart are born again, I would say to you, because of compatibility and beliefs and doctrines, you should eliminate those kind of people. Because there's just too much to work through to be able to make, you know, a sweet, loving union without lots of theological debates and all sorts of other issues going on. So again, if we narrow it down to those that are at least, can we use the phrase, basically like-minded? Again, does that mean they have to go to effort a church? No. But again, when you look at those that are basically like-minded, that actually narrows the field down quite a bit, doesn't it? I don't know what that number is. I tried to think about that this morning, Brother Mose. I don't even know how many young people are in our circles. 1,000? I don't even know. I don't even know how to count those numbers anymore, but 3,000 or 4,000? Okay, but again, you cut that in half with the half are boys, half are girls. Usually there's more girls, but anyway, cut it in half. It's actually not a lot to pick from, if I could say it that way. And so a lot of people worry as if there's a million choices, but may I say to you, there aren't a million choices. I'm not trying to scare you that there's only a couple of thousand choices, but what I'm trying to say is, once you start looking at this guideline of light versus darkness, guideline of compatibility, we're actually down to, you know, a reasonable choice or possibility. And even if it's 3,000 or 4,000, like you said, even if Moses is wrong and it's 10,000, and half of those are girls and half of those are boys, because you could go outside of our immediate circles into maybe some beachy churches or whatever, where there could be a lot of compatibility and beliefs, you're still down to a small, pretty small group, could we say. But then you get into this. Here's another guideline. The authority of your parents, just like Jeremy was sharing on in Davina. If your parents do not give their blessing and their willing participation in it, then by definition, the general will of God and even the specific will of God is revealed through loving godly authorities. And that can narrow it down quite a bit, can't it? And then on top of that, you have your church ministry, or the other ones, church ministry elders. They would need to be involved because they're obviously going to be putting on the wedding, as Brother Mose will be sharing on, and you'll probably be in one of their churches or a similar like-minded church. And so by the time you go through the ministry and the things that they know, that kind of, by definition, those guidelines kind of starts revealing, is this person you're considering part of the will of God? But now let's take some of those. You see what I'm doing here? I'm kind of using these biblical principles, because what the question is who is the one I should marry, or is it okay to marry this one? By using these principles and guidelines, you're suddenly narrowing it down till you get a pretty good idea. But let's look at a couple of other verses here. Well, let's look at Genesis 24. Let's look at the story of Isaac and Rebekah just for a moment here, and we can learn a couple of things that I think will help us further understand the will of God. Again, remember our example earlier where there are times, and I've seen it often happen, with young ladies that once they become of marriageable age and they are a godly girl and everything's just right in their life, it's all of a sudden, there's usually 2, 3, or 4 guys will come within 6 months. You all might be shocked. Being in the ministry, I'm often still shocked how often that happens. It doesn't happen like once a down then. I'm often shocked that once a girl reaches a certain age, it's often kind of like, wow. The boys start coming out of the woodwork, if I can say it that way. It's kind of like they figure out she's ready for marriage. And you're kind of wondering, wow, what do you do with all that? And again, as we said earlier, they all can't be right if they believe that they're the one for her. And yet they're all spiritual, godly young men. So let's look at Genesis 24 here and get a couple of ideas here. We won't read the whole thing, but it's a long story. It's a beautiful story. But in 24, Abraham is older. He sends his servant, who we assume is Eliezer, to go find a bride. And Eliezer says in verse 5, "And the servant said, peradventure the woman, watch this, will not be willing to follow me unto this land." Now what is happening there? What is Eliezer afraid of? He's saying, okay, I know, first of all, Abraham is following the other guidelines. He's getting someone of like belief. Remember? Look, watch what's happening here in this story. He's involved. The authorities are involved. It's a spiritual thing. He realizes God wants to continue a godly seed. And he wants it to be of someone of a godly background that's had some similar teachings that there's only one true God, right? He doesn't want to marry one of these heathen girls. And so, and Eliezer doesn't disagree with any of those guidelines to find the will of God who Isaac is to marry. But he is worried about somebody's will. Did you notice that? He says, peradventure, she is not willing to come. Abraham doesn't rebuke him in the story and say, the girl has no choice. This is betrothal we believe in the Old Testament. Notice that, by the way. But anyway, that's another subject. What does he do? He lets Eliezer off the hook, if you know the story, and says, okay, if she's not willing, we'll figure something out. It's almost as if he's saying, if she's not willing, then maybe it's not the will of God. We'll look somewhere else. We'll do something else. But the story goes on. And let's go further in the story here. And let's go down to verse 50, chapter 24. Then Laban and Bethuel. Okay, this is the uncle and the father. So you have godly authority involved in the girl's life. Okay? Answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. So they've heard the story, heard the testimony, and they feel like, you know, this is a spiritual thing. And we need to be involved in this. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass. Now it seems like the whole thing's over with, but it's not. That when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels, and on and on and on and on. Now the story goes on. But now watch what happens. They're speaking, but they're actually not done. Verse 57, and they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Now notice that. What they're saying is they're not ordering her to go, even though it looks like they are. They're saying, we're for it. We think God is in it. It looks spiritual. It looks right. Looks compatible. We have similar beliefs. We all worship the one true God. All these other guidelines are being followed. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And so I don't know how to say all this right, and I don't have the final answer, and I'm not saying this is as easy as it seems, and yet maybe it is. If all of the things that God has given us and all these principles of authority and only marrying those of compatible, similar beliefs, like-mindedness, and being born again, if all those things are there, and everyone agrees, see what's happening here is everyone agrees. God's will is being revealed in everyone's heart, saying, yes, this is of God. Yes, this is. In other words, there was an answer. Abraham had an answer in his heart. I want this kind of wife. Eliezer was not disagreeing with his master, even though he was involved in the process. He, remember, if you'll read this whole story, you'll find out that when he saw the girl, he actually fell down and worshipped what? God. Because he thought, yeah, this is looking like God is in this thing. But all the way to the end, everybody had to be in agreement. And the will of God, if we can say it this way, wasn't fully revealed until everybody had a chance to say no or yes. And so then Laban said yes. Then Bethuel, the father, said yes. And then Rebekah had the opportunity, at least the way it's given in the Word of God, to say no. It appears, anyway, I don't think they would be in here if God was just stringing us along. She had the right to say no. I will not go with this man. And so we must reserve the right for the girl to be able to say no. And that final yes, and then all the other yeses, and then all the other guidelines, I think, if I can present it this way this morning, is a package answer to the question, how do I know the will of God? How do I know finding the right one? The answer is, when everything lines up. Because we're all dealing with hearts here. We're not dealing with lists. It's not a scientific study that we get a list. I've seen young men, I had one young man came to me, he had a list of 100 things that a girl had to be before he married her. I took the list and I tore it up and said, oh, I don't want to pity the girl that you get. She'll never live up to this. First, let's get rid of the list. You know, and I say that laughing, but it's, I mean, poor girl. You know, we're talking about people here. It's not, we're not grocery shopping. And so the individual people are involved with their hearts. And so when everything lines up, everything lines up. Now, you may think this is just Old Testament. Turn into the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And again, I'm not trying to say all the power is in the girl. I'm saying all of these things had to line up. There was power in the Father to say no. God could have turned it away. God could have not led Eleazar to this girl. You see all this? Everyone was involved here. God was leading. That's why Eleazar worshipped God. Everybody was leading. And everything started lining up. Abraham was involved. Isaac was involved. If you read the last part of the story, it says he saw her and he loved her. So his heart was involved. He agreed with the choice. You know, all these things are part of what's going on. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 39. Okay, yeah. Verse 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, okay, now this is a woman whose husband is dead. She's now, quote unquote, a free woman. She is at liberty. Liberty means she can marry. But now who does she marry? Marry to whom she will. Only in the Lord. Then we have that qualifications again. Okay? So again, the qualifications. So part of the revelation of the will of God is all of these things lining up. You know, she doesn't have to marry somebody just because the preacher says, you know, this is a really good choice. He's like-minded. He's all these things. But if in her heart she's going, I can't. She doesn't have to. Even if everybody else feels she does have to. Now, I don't have time this morning. I don't have time to qualify all those things or say all those things the right way. But all I'm saying is, there is a bit of a fear, I think, sometimes people worry and they're going to get the wrong one. May I say, if all of these things line up, the Father, God is leading, you know, other people are involved, the ministers, they're born again, the boy agrees, the girl, it just flows. You know, it's kind of like even Jeremy and Davina's testimony. When she first heard his name, she didn't jump up and down and hoop. I mean, it wasn't against him or for him. She just thought, she even kind of looked at me, I remember going, Jeremy? I said, yeah. Jeremy Martin. Yeah, she goes, he's interested in me? I said, yeah. She's like, I think she even said, I never thought of that, or however she said it. I don't remember. But she was like, you know, not that it always has to be a surprise. I'm not saying I believe in that. Sometimes it's not a surprise. In this case, it was. But once she, as her testimony gave, once she prayed about it, and there was no pressure put upon her, I didn't push her one way or the other. I gave her time. She prayed, like she said, it was a month or whatever it was. But then once she was clear, well, then it was clear that it was God's will, and they came together, and of course, look at them now. Isn't it wonderful? So, you know, I'm just trying to say, can we not trust the whole package here, the whole, all of these things lining up to show us God's will? Let's don't resort to a list and then strong-arm the girl and make her feel guilty, because after all, everybody else agrees. Everything needs to line up. Everything needs to be there. And when it is, then I believe God is working in this situation and God's will is being done, and it's a beautiful thing. So I hope that answer helps you a little bit. I'm not saying it would answer every situation, but I do think there's something in there that does apply in most every situation. Okay. All right, what I want to do is take a little bit of time here for questions and answers. I have some here that were already written out, but I think I also, before I look at any of these here this afternoon, would just like to open it up, maybe if we have some microphones, maybe because of some of the things we shared this morning, maybe because of some of the testimonies, or maybe some of the things I shared from the message this afternoon, you have a question in particular about some of those things that have already been shared. If there is a question that you have that's pertinent or on your heart, I can easily read one of these out loud and try to answer it or give a little discussion on that. But I just thought it might be good to pause and open it up. If someone does have something on their heart, a question or whatever, you raise your hand, and we'll be glad to try to look at that question. Anyone? Okay.
Yeah, a question came to me as you were speaking today. I think you mentioned it a couple times, Rick, about you don't want to be, you didn't use the word matchmaker, but something like that. Is it ever appropriate for others who are excited about getting a couple together to interfere in putting a courtship together if they're not an authority in that person's life?
Yeah, the way you framed the question, no. But sometimes, yes, we do have friends that know us well, people that are close to us that might also know our situation. And, you know, I have seen situations where someone can speak into someone's life and just say, have you considered so-and-so? And I think given as a, whatever, friendly, loving suggestion, sometimes that's okay, because sometimes I have seen, if I can say it this way, young people who are asleep enough that they're not awake enough to be doing what they ought to be doing, and that is, remember our definition of findeth was obtained by seeking. They're not really seeing what they need to see. I have actually seen that. I remember a young man once that I went up to and said to him, I think it's time for you to wake up. And he kind of smiled at me and he said, you're the second minister that said that in 3 days. And I said, well, what do you think God's saying? He said, I think it's time to wake up. And then he did, and now he's married. But, you know, sometimes people do need a little suggestion. But we have to be careful. We don't want to be, even among ourselves, matchmakers, because that can also become a little, I think, embarrassing or a little, I don't know, even intimidating. Because then if you don't pursue it, then is the person going to think you didn't think their suggestion was good? I mean, there's all those dynamics that happen. But I think as long as people understand that it should primarily be those that know us best and love us and care about us and know our character and know our walk with Christ that might even have the right to make a suggestion. We need to be very careful with those, because I don't think as a church we want a lot of just names being thrown and bantered all about. I know if I were a young man or a young lady, I wouldn't want to hear that my name has been tossed out to 10 people in the last 6 months as a possibility. I mean, I think I would feel, I'm not a playing card that you just toss around here. I'm a person. So I think there would have to be a little carefulness in it. I think it's possible, but I would think there would need to be a little carefulness respecting people's, situation. Yes, Myron down here.
Most young men fear getting a no to the point that they are very much interested in getting some kind of idea that there's at least a probable yes before they want to ask. And so sometimes there's this little stuff that goes on kind of behind the scenes a little bit before there's authority given or before anything is cleared. And I'm just wondering, how far that's okay. Is none of it okay? Is it some okay? If how far does it go before that's not doing what we're saying here? Do you understand my question? I mean, seems like most people sort of want a little bit of security that there's going to be a probability before they pursue all these 9 yards of stuff.
Right.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 12 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.